Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
My name is Jewel Kiernan.
I'm Charlie James.
We are your hosts.
And this podcast is a love letter to the nightmarishly powerful phenomenon of parasocial relationships.
Did you like my use of words?
Nightmarish. Scary.
Well.
Accurate.
Thank you.
Scary accurate.
We investigate our own parasocial relationships on this podcast, and we also interview the people we all have parasocial relationships with.
And today, we're trying something new.
Yes. So far, our guest interviews have been extremely interesting, and we keep going over time, and we run out of time to discuss our own parasocial phenomenons we want to talk about.
And Jewel needs to do that.
I have to do that.
Yeah.
Because I will get sick.
Can't hold it in. So today, it's just us.
Yes.
We are going to talk about a porn star who sent me money.
Yes. We're going to talk about a bassist in a famous band who followed me on Twitter and kind of scared me.
And don't forget,
we're going to talk about Chapel Roan.
Have to.
Finally. It's so egregious we haven't talked about it yet.
It's true.
Welcome.
Well, it did just happen.
It did. Well, not really.
Not Chapel Roan, but...
Yeah, I know. There's a parasocial update.
We'll get into it.
In the sphere. So anyways.
Welcome to the Parasocial Social Club.
Meow! Did you feel gay that time?
No, I felt normal. Thank you for asking. And you can keep that in.
It's not homophobic.
You won't know what we're referencing. But you know that Charlie took a note that he gave himself.
And it was not homophobic at all.
No.
We are pro homosexuality on this podcast.
We're not even just pro. We're spearheading the operation, I think.
The homos.
Yeah. We've done our part.
Yeah, absolutely. As...
Yeah, we've put in the years, the hours.
The homosexual agenda, we contributed to it.
And I got a Google calendar invite from you.
You did? To the agenda?
Yeah. I haven't taken a look yet, but...
Well, you'll enjoy
it. But I'm going.
The thing is, actually, we have to talk about some business right now, Charlie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's serious business to get to.
So what we wanted to do is say thank you so much to everyone who is listening so far. We really, 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 really appreciate it.
This rocks.
Yeah.
It's so nice. This is just an excuse for us to hang out and talk about things that we like.
Yeah.
And so if you've heard any of it, or if this is the first time you're hearing it.
It could be.
Just thanks for even tuning in, even once.
Yeah.
I appreciate it.
It's really
weird
nice.
That you said no guest. As your first episode, but it's not up to me what you do.
There's no way for them to, they don't even know what's normal if this is their first episode.
No. Well, usually there's other people. That's what I'll say.
Yeah, it's really interesting when that happens. But anyways, so thank you so much for listening. And we have a quick favor to ask.
Look. Listen.
Listen. Listen.
Look and listen.
Hello.
If you love.
Or even like.
Us as people,
as hosts
of a podcast, please leave a 5-star rating on Spotify or
Apple Podcasts.
A 5-star review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I actually think they might be calling them ratings now. But either way, you guys know what we're talking about.
Say that we're good publicly.
Put a positive rating. In the algorithms that matter, please.
That would mean so much
to us. It's really nice. And it's a really easy, free way for you guys to support us and help other people find the podcast. And I was like thinking maybe we could like read some of the reviews on the show.
I like that.
Do you think
like
that's
when they
too
do that.
Parasocial or do you think that's
No,
cool?
I think that's like just the right amount for
okay.
us.
So like if you write a funny review or even a nice review, God, if you write a nice review. Whew,
if you write a mean review. I think we'll probably read them all.
If you write a mean review, but you rate us 5 stars,
yeah, we'll definitely. There's nothing I have more respect for than that. I have had Uber drivers who were so violent with the road, but I give them 5 stars, and then in the comments I go like, "That was insane, and you should reform yourself."
Yeah, but you still put like friendly, easy to communicate.
Yeah,
with.
Really kind. Tailgated nonstop, and was going 90.
In a 12 zone.
Yeah.
Imagine if there were 12 zones. 12 miles per hour. 12
too
hours
slow.
Per mile.
Way too slow. That's like a school zone. I hate. Ugh.
I hate schools.
I hate schools. I hate children.
Anyways, what's going on with you parasocially, please?
Actually, I love children. Oh, some... I work with them a lot now, and every time I see them, I'm like, oh, you guys don't even know what's in store.
Oh, God.
You know?
Yeah.
Anyways, what's you want to hear about my parasocial relationship or my anecdote?
I want to hear your anecdote.
Great.
What's the latest?
So one time, Jewel, hi, I made a TikTok about my needs, and my needs are many. There were a lot of things listed. Namely, I need like a very private bathroom that no one has access to. Mm-hmm. I need $600 immediately. I can't even remember the other ones. Really, those two stood out most of all. I put it so casually on TikTok that these are just, I'm not high maintenance. I just need these incredibly specific and difficult to accomplish things.
Right. And this was sort of a joke, sort of also true, but you know, it's a TikTok.
Yeah.
So it's for entertainment purposes.
And in fairness, to the public, I didn't desperately need $600, but it would have helped.
Sure.
It would have helped quite a bit.
I know the feeling.
But I was surprised when I got a Venmo notification that someone had sent me $600.
That's so shocking.
And they were like, here you go. And I immediately rejected it. It made me feel really bad. It was like a woman's name. And I was like, I am just like a random dude on the internet taking money from you because you're feeling nice. And it really freaked me out. I was like, you keep that, you buy yourself something nice. Like, it really freaked me the fuck out. And then I dug a little deeper, and it was from someone named Kira Noir. And I was like, well, I should just look up like who that is. And she could not be more famous a porn star. I feel, honestly, she definitely has $600 to spare. And she knew what she was doing, and she fully took that into calculation and was not being insane. Right. Yeah.
You did not have to have the reaction
kept it.
You had.
I really could have kept it.
Right.
And then also I can be like, wow, Kira Noir sent me money.
Right.
That makes me feel really amazing. Cute. Yeah.
So did you have any interaction with her afterwards?
No. I made a video in response that was like, nope. And then that was prior to looking her up.
Oh my goodness. You made a video before looking her up?
I know, I should have done that first. Look, well, Joel, in early days. Yeah, I would have done a lot of stuff differently. I would have kept the $600. I would have said, what are you doing tonight? Because she's gorgeous and it's ridiculous. Hate that I just said gorgeous. Really awful. But speaking parasocially, as soon as all this went down, I was like, okay, well, I'm going to follow her back. I had never watched her pornography. But I was like, I want to watch all the TikToks about her making it.
Right.
And one of the things she said was that it makes her feel weird when like friends or people she's dated have like, or starting to date, have watched a lot of her videos. Like when she's just getting to know someone for whatever reason and they have a ton of information about her, it makes her feel kind of weird.
Absolutely.
And so as an internet friend, I was like, well, then I'm just never going to watch any porn that she's in. And to this day, it's still time it pops up. And I go, no.
That is my good personal
friend.
That
is someone I know so well and can't wait to continue to get to know.
That's my good personal friend.
I also am like, why am I doing that? We don't know each other. I've shut down the $600 line of communication we had.
You rejected Kira.
Oh, but I didn't mean to.
I know, but
I expected her to be like 22 and stupid. And she, in fact, is just someone who has money and was really generous. So
this is like actually a tragedy.
Yeah, it is so bad.
I'm so sorry this happened to you.
I'm blushing. I think it's ridiculous that I was like, nope, reject.
It is really, really funny.
Of all the people to say no thank you to.
Only a thing that could have happened to you.
Yeah.
Since then, to be perfectly honest,
I want her on the podcast desperately.
Yeah, absolutely. If anyone actually is friends with Kira Noir in a non-parasocial way, please please let her know.
Tell her we want her.
Yeah, we'd love to chat.
It'd be great.
Absolutely fascinating. I would love to hear about what that's like.
All of my behavior in that story was... Each next move was so insane. From being like, do not send me $600, to making a video before I looked her up, to behaving like I'm now her friend and I can't watch videos of her. It really...
It's why you shouldn't involve finances, you know?
Yeah, I shouldn't have said I need $600. I should have been like...
No, that's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you shouldn't mix money and friendship.
I didn't know there was a friendship to be had until the money arrived.
Exactly.
I didn't know... I wasn't aware of who she was. And now I couldn't be more aware. That same year, she won... I don't even... I'm going to butcher whatever this was, but it was like best porn star award. I swear, something huge. And I was like, she's doing amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, please do the pod.
Did this convince you?
I am going to be so normal the next time we interact.
Charlie won't be on the pod.
I will stay home. You. Actually, I live here. I'll move. I don't even care. You guys can record here.
Okay, so this story actually... weirdly relates a lot to my parasocial anecdote, which is that also happened a while back.
Mm-hmm.
So I really love the band Cold War Kids.
Uh-huh.
I've seen them a million times.
I'm familiar.
One year I saw them like five times, like inexplicably. They just play a lot, you know? And okay, God, I'm trying to decide how deep I want to go. I'm in San Diego. Mm-hmm. I'm young. I'm in college. They're playing like a secret brand show. Like the Top Shop is opening at Fashion Valley.
Whoa.
The Top Shop is coming to San Diego. Stay with me, everybody. I'm thrilled. I love Top Shop. It's only in New York at this point. Anyways.
It's hard to think of a time before Top Shop.
a time when Top Shop was an exclusive Soho only establishment. Okay, so the Top Shop is opening at the Fashion Valley Mall.
Mm-hmm.
And somehow I hear through the grapevine that Cold War Kids is playing the special Topshop promotional party opening show tonight in downtown. Meanwhile, I've already seen them like 17,000 times. And at one of the shows, me and my sister were dancing like we like to do, but we were kind of far away. And the bassist pointed at me, crumpled up the set list, and threw it to me in the crowd. And I caught it. Okay, so I'm like, I'm special.
Yeah.
Right? Okay, anyways, that happened a long time ago. Fast forward to the Fashion Valley.
Was he making eye contact with you?
He pointed at me.
Yeah.
He pointed at me, crumpled it up, tossed it to me.
Yeah.
And I wasn't even like, I mean, I was shocked. I was very happy, but I was like, yeah, we did deserve this. Like, we were the people in the crowd having a good time. It was a festival. It wasn't their show.
Right.
Okay, so moving forward, we're at Fashion Valley. I have to kill some time before the secret Cold War Kids show. I go to Fashion Valley. The entire band is there, presumably getting free clothing. I didn't know this was happening. At Top Shop. In the men's section.
Okay.
So I'm feeling a little stalkerish.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, I didn't really mean for them to be here.
I'm here way too early. Yeah.
Also, this isn't even where the show is. The show is at a real venue. We're at the store in the mall right now.
This is interesting.
Okay. So I see them all there. I'm like, this is crazy. Whoa, cool. I like take a picture. Great. Okay. Then later, I go to the show. The show is great. It's this weird, like tiny warehouse venue, blah, blah, blah. Afterwards, because it's this weird tiny show, like they're around to chat and like meet people. So I meet them. I'm having a nice time. I'm like, wow, I met Cold War Kids. Okay. Then I leave. I go home. And then I go on my Twitter. And the bassist, remember... that's the guy who threw me the set list, has liked every single photo
this
tweet
I was worried
I've ever made.
You were about to say is that he went way too hard.
tweet, photo tweets.
How did he? Are the photo tweets of you?
Yeah, they're like a selfie.
So
or
it's
a
like
picture.
Any photo of you he's liked
on Twitter. The photo app.
I don't know.
So I immediately unfollowed him because I followed him personally because because he makes the art for the band and I like his art. And I immediately unfollow him and I was like, whoa, I just got like reverse parasocial relationship.
What I'm amazed by is like your sort of healthy mindset about this.
I was scared.
Any other fan of a band would be, I feel like, absolutely leaning into this and being insane.
Well, mind you, I had already gotten attention from that.
Yeah.
Like, I had gotten what I felt was an appropriate and thrilling amount of attention from the set list throw. That's 100%. Like, they're still a band, and I'm still a fan.
You know, but you're so balanced and healthy. Everyone wants Harry Styles to, like, fall in love with them and sweep them off their feet.
You're right.
And those, and the, you know, we were all, like, 12 when that was happening.
It's true.
You know? You were like, oh, wow, that seems like maybe too much to have found every photo of me on Twitter.
Like, and the worst, the thing, that the reason that I'm not like, oh, yeah, I am so healthy is because, like, I don't know. Maybe if it was, like, somebody I was really attracted to,
I was
going to
say, I think maybe.
I would have been like, yes.
How hot this person may or may not be is.
They're, like, yeah. Medium. I'm neutral.
Yeah.
I'm neutral.
That's not enough.
I'm neutral. And but the behavior really put me off because,
yeah.
And the other thing was that I had just met them. So it was like, if you wanted to hit on me, you could have just done it in real life.
Totally.
Like, not in this weird tweet picture way.
What year is this?
What,
if you're in college. 20, actually, okay.
In the 2010, early 2010s.
Because I'm thinking about, I feel like, now we hear about like famous people who use Raya,
yeah,
and like,
yeah,
interactions,
yeah.
People will just be like, this is what Ben Affleck said to me on Raya, and like post them directly to Twitter. And I wonder, to me, it's like so much weirder that this person did the inverse and didn't go like hit on you in person and then cool it online, but right. Instead was like, oh, well, I'm just going to leave like a paper trail, but no in-person real interaction.
It makes you think that must, I mean, it was a different time, it was a different internet interaction era,
yeah,
but it makes you think like that must work for him, you know, he must get attention.
Sure.
That way, that must have worked on other girls.
Yeah,
I can't be the only one he went and liked all of her picture tweets.
He like swipes to the media tab.
That's what I
just know exactly
what,
yeah.
I think happened, but yeah, I know what you mean. It's like now, ideally, he should be afraid to do that.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to screenshot that shit.
I don't know. People are still weird. I sometimes watch that video of Chris D'Elia realizing that you can take screenshots of Snapchats. I would say I see it probably every 2 months because it brings me such joy of just like the exact moment that someone realizes they are about to be exposed,
yeah,
as a pedophile. It was awesome. and you know, I thank God for technology.
That's really beautiful.
Yeah,
that's actually what should be in the MoMA,
that video.
Yeah. And by saying that, I reveal that I am anti
the
modern
MoMA
art.
I am really amazed by
what's in the MoMA now.
Nothing.
Absolute bullshit.
What should be the Chris D'Elia video on that one podcast.
Anyways, so I just think it's funny how everybody fumbled the bag in both of those stories.
I have one that yours reminded me of.
Go
if
on.
You're ready for a triple. It
fuck
is,
yeah.
But it's pretty short. Since college, I've been listening to rapper extraordinaire Open Mike Eagle, and my friend Aiden Ghosh put me onto him. And he had a great album called Hella Personal Film Festival that I listened to like my first 4 months in Chicago. And I, ever since then, listened to his music, whatever, big fan. He followed me on TikTok and then on some other apps. And we have a lot of people in common. I feel like he does a lot of stuff with comedians. I'm a comedian. I know all these folks, whatever. Another thing about me is that I have alcoholism.
Yes.
And what used to happen is that I would be really drunk and I would be like, oh, I'm listening to this friend's thing. I should go just like send them a message. So we were mutuals. I was listening to his podcast and I really liked it. And I wanted to be like, oh my God, I loved this season because I just listened to the new season. And I went to DM him about it. I was pretty drunk. And he had interviewed someone. Like, it's an interview show where he interviews someone for a whole season about like what happened in the music industry. And I got the name of the guy wrong. And I woke up the next day and was like, I have to kill us both. Like, I hate this. It's so small, but it was so embarrassing to me.
Yeah.
Because it seems like I didn't listen to it. And I did. I'm just fucking stupid. And now I'm sober. Right. So.
Right. You should DM him and be like, hey,
just want to let you know I've turned my life around and I actually don't make any social faux pas anymore. And if I
made a typo like this now, it would just be of my own accord.
Right.
There would be no substance involved.
Yeah.
That's sad.
And honestly, we should be amazed the DM even was that accurate. Like, I feel like I sent a lot of messages back in the day that are I don't ever want to see again.
Did he respond?
Yeah.
Did he give a heart?
He said like, I think I might have double texted when I realized that it was the wrong name and was like, oh my God. And then he said something like, LMAO. Thanks.
TTYL.
I don't know.
TY.
He seems like a very nice man. But it was, I was like, wow, but I'm such a big fan that this is truly mortifying.
Yeah. That's actually this era, the era that I had this Cold War kids interaction. That's when I decided I'm never going to talk to a celebrity if I see a celebrity that I respect in real life.
Like,
I'm,
you just, no. No,
I'm
thank
just
you.
Already mortified by the whole ordeal, which I feel a little different now because I'm an adult and I know how to talk to other people.
Yeah.
But I did have a rule for a time where I was like, actually, nope, we can't talk to those people.
I get it, because it's hard not to be so weird.
The power differential is just, it's...
Yeah.
Makes my skin crawl.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what this whole show is about.
That's how it makes our skin crawl. It also brings me joy.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm comforted.
I would like to check in on some of our parasocial relationships.
Great. Thank you for asking. Well, let's start with yours.
Okay.
More interesting. No offense.
No offense to PJ.
To PJ Vote.
This poor man who's the star of our podcast.
I also realize, like, each episode I do have to recap who he is because it's not like anyone fucking remembers the thing that I care most about, you know? Anyways.
Not true. Thanks. It's just for new, you know, new listeners tuning in might need a primer.
Okay. I'll let them know.
Okay, so
you first.
The person I want to check in on today is something new to the podcast. I want to talk about Chapel Roan because we're going to talk about her a little bit later. Mm-hmm. And I want to talk about my parasocial relationship to her, which is this. Spotify showed me her music like 3 years ago. I was like, oh, I kind of like this. It's kind of scary.
What do you mean?
Pink Pony Club.
The music video I've seen.
Not even the music video, just the song.
The song is scary?
I was just like, this song is like crazy. Like, this is a huge song. It's kind of too much for me, but I still liked it.
What do you mean?
Imagine it's 3 years ago. Chapel Roan's not like the biggest pop star in America right now.
What do you mean huge?
it's like
huge and scary are the words you've used to describe the song Pink Pony Club.
The song is very dramatic.
And because it's about her mother?
No.
Okay. I'm not actually, I have no more assumptions. I'm getting them all wrong.
The song is very dramatic production-wise. Let me actually use specific words that make sense. It's very theatrical sounding song. And it's like got all these fun sparkly noises and her vocals are very like theatrical, operatic. So it's very different than anything else that was popular at the time and still kind of. Anyways.
True.
So it took me about a year and a half to decide if I even liked Pink Pony Club, but nobody cared. Nobody was about Chapel Roan. I was just privately having this experience, deciding whether or not to skip the song when Spotify showed it to me. Mm-hmm. So that was good for me. I liked that. Then
you get to have your own experience without input.
Yeah. Anyways, fast forward. She I listened to the, I don't even know what the timeline is because again, I wasn't tracking it because she wasn't famous, but now we're here in this present moment. She's extremely famous. She went from like opening to Olivia Rodrigo to like the most popular set at Lollapalooza. And she's, you know, everyone, anyone can talk about in the pop sphere, and great. I'm very happy for her. I think the album is fantastic and blah, blah, blah. But let's talk about me.
Yeah.
My parasocial relationship with Chapel Roan went from, oh, this is an interesting artist. I'm having a lot of thoughts about her. She's a young in her career. She's young in real life. She has kind of a very like sexualized image, which kind of makes me uncomfortable because I also have been a sexualized girl in the entertainment industry. Mm, so kind of like something for me to bounce my thoughts off of. And she was also a new artist. So that was part of it, was I was thinking like, oh, this imagery and stuff, it makes me a little bit like, I don't trust that she's in control of it because she's like 22.
Yeah. In thinking about that, I realized like, I always sort of read it as she was in control of it and she was making all the decisions because it is so lesbian. But now that I'm saying it out loud, it's like, I think I had that context before I actually saw the videos and heard the songs. So it's probably that I'm just like, yeah, it's fine because she seems into it.
Well, the other thing is that now that she is so famous and her persona is a lot more evolved, I think. She's mm-hmm. like learned how to do her persona more confidently and effectively, that you look at it now and you're like, yeah, she's in control. She's got this. But mm-hmm. if you look at it 3 or 4 years ago, and I don't know how exactly what the timeline is or how old she was, but just imagine you're just looking at just a random girl on Spotify and you're Jewel and you're kind of going, oh, this kind of stresses me out, but I think I like the music. Mm-hmm. Anyways.
And you're Jewel. Put yourself in Jewel's shoes. You're Jewel and you're looking at something.
Anyway, so honestly,
I see it. I get it. I do think, seeing young people be sexy always makes me go like, huh.
Freaks me out, man.
How are you? How are you doing?
Yeah, freaks me out. But the real moral of the story to me, that's kind of just a sidebar. Thank you for letting me talk about that, everyone.
Of course.
The real thing is just that now she's really famous, so I don't have any time to be like, do I like this song or do I not like this song? Like, she released her new single. I can't sing it because that would be copyright infringement. But, it's just that kind of thing where you go from, you know, liking an indie artist nobody cares about. Indie artist,
yeah.
To like,
they're really
the
massive.
Hype. The hype is bigger than even the art.
I feel that you've had that happen to you a few times, and I really don't think that many people I've like loved before they blew up.
Are you saying that I'm a little good taste?
Yeah, you're a trendsetter.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thanks for saying this.
A lot of the things I like are like, this is a guy who's been dead for 50 years, so he's not going big, you know.
But is he famous?
No.
Oh.
No.
You could still, that trend could still get set then.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
And I also, we're going to talk more about Chapel, but I just want to say, I just want to tell her that she doesn't need to be famous anymore if she doesn't want to. She had plenty.
Well, that's good because she listens to the pod. She's perfect.
And I liked, in the end, I liked Pink Pony Club, it turned out. I love that song now.
I like that song too. Have you heard the AI version that they made where Squidward sings it?
Yes, of course.
I, no offense to Miss Roan, I think I like it more. with just like an angry little masculine voice screaming Pink Pony Club. I
it's so silly and sweet.
My Chapel Roan thoughts. Tell me if you agree. I think the hits are the hits. Like, the hits are great songs.
For sure.
I listen to some deep cuts and I go, I don't know about this one. I don't know if... Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's like, I don't know if even she likes this song as much. And that's probably why it's not huge. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You didn't put what you put into Red Wine Supernova into whatever this deep cut is.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, that said... when I am at work, And there's a show that gay people will be at. I always play Chapel Roan, and I am always thanked profusely.
I would thank you.
Like I've done a good deed, you know.
In the height of Chapel Roan, right before she really blew up and like became mainstream, mm-hmm. I went dancing for the first time in like months at some dive bar, and I ran into the bar and they were playing like a Chapel Roan song, and I was like, never did I think I was going to get to dance to this at the bar. So
and then it got so much bigger, you could have no clue.
I could go to any bar right now and they would play her for me. No problem.
Challenge you to find one that isn't playing Chapel Roan right now. That's so great. Wow.
Yeah. Anywho.
Good for her. Well,
we'll see. More to come.
More to come. I guess I'll talk briefly about my little man.
I need to know what's going on with your little man.
So here's the deal with PJ Vote, host of Search Engine Podcast, formerly Reply All before stuff went down, and I have a really nuanced and sort of important good take about it. Anyways, as all of my opinions are, kind of correct and good. So season one of that show is all done.
Congratulations.
It took a little hiatus, and it was so brief, and thank God, because I was like...
How brief, please?
I think 3 weeks.
Pretty brief.
That's brief to have no episodes. When people say like hiatus, I think, well, I don't even know if that's the word he used, but it was back really fast. And now it's back to once a week. Here's what I'm going to say. You know Berghain?
Nope. Please explain. Uh-oh, so, I touched my eye again, everyone.
Stop touching it.
I'm trying to get the touch out.
That's no. I always try to do that, but that's actually not how it works. I thought that too.
Okay, I'm done touching it.
Yeah. I do that if I touch. I've got face things. You know, you know I've got face problems.
Okay, sorry. Sorry to interrupt.
I'm slowly sinking into my couch. Berghain is a techno club in Berlin.
Yeah.
That is famous for being extremely hard to get into. So much so that there are like online simulator games where you can attempt to get in.
I've played.
Right? Well, yeah. It's too daunting. It like legitimately makes me anxious just to play the simulator.
Yeah, you're like, what if I have to go there? What am I going to wear?
Yeah, and like rejection is so difficult. And also I'm sure the simulator is like a roll of the dice thing and
sure,
not,
yeah.
You know, if I were designing that game, I would not have someone actually making decisions behind the scenes. But, they have some tips. Wear black. Be legitimately interested and knowledgeable about the techno that they're going to be playing that night. Who the DJs are, you know, what's going on, etc. Basically, the final episode is PJ Vote has some friends who didn't get in and they want to know why. And then he tries to get in. And the whole season ends on this cliffhanger where you don't know if he got into Berghain or not. And I didn't like that choice. I really wanted to know. I was like, it's a yes or no question, and I'm not that peeved either way. I really would just like to know. And the answer is clearly yes, based on the first episode of the new season.
Okay.
But it wasn't meant as like a cliffhanger. The first episode of the new season, get this, this is so relevant to us, uh-huh. is someone interviewing him, which is like how we
began.
That
was already my idea. Well, actually, it was my sister's idea.
For us?
For me to interview you.
Well, that's what happened.
Yeah, we already had that idea.
So he kind of, one, copied us, but two.
But also, it already came out.
I know.
Okay, anyways.
Oh, you're right.
Damn
okay,
it.
I don't have to think about it. Listen. It just, I just was like, why is the reveal, why? I don't always get a cliffhanger. I really love information.
What happens when it? What about when it happens in like a TV show?
It really depends. Honestly, I don't even really like it then. You look furious. Are you okay?
Just curious.
What's an example of one
curious.
That you loved?
No, honestly, I that's kind of why I look like that, because I'm like, I can't think of a cliffhanger I've enjoyed either.
I like knowing, and then seeing the fallout is the interesting part.
Right, exactly.
I think the reason he wanted to do that and avoid actually saying whether he was inside or not is that not recording at Berghain is like a really huge deal. They really block out your entire phone. So it's like a big deal. So I think he was just like, well, that's how I get around not recording audio inside of a club illegally.
Okay. Is to make a big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Are you mad at him?
I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed.
Are you?
The episode was so good. You know, I listened to it 3 times. It was shut up. And yeah, but I would have had a different ending.
Have you seriously listened to it 3 times?
Yes.
On 1x speed?
Yeah, but it's not for content. I just really need, when you guys aren't here, I have to be listening to something at all times. When you two aren't in my home, someone is talking. This is, I think, maybe an only child problem, because I have some only children friends who talk to themselves. Couldn't be me. I would never do that. I think that that's psychotic. But me listening to people talking to me makes me feel like people are at my house. And it's...
Yeah, no, that's very normal.
And it's parasocial and very healthy.
That's very normal. I think that's how a lot of people use podcasts.
Yeah.
One time,
I audibly replied out loud to something that I was listening to, and that I had to turn off my phone and go think about myself. I really didn't like that.
I talk back to them all the time.
You really do?
Yeah.
That absolutely. Was way too much for me when I did it. What do you say?
I talk to myself as well. I think you need to get over this. Yeah.
No, I do it inside.
Yeah, I talk
where
to
it goes. What are you talking about?
I talk to myself like, okay, Jewel, let's go. Come on.
Out loud.
Yes. It's time to go.
Okay.
Mainly I'm like parenting myself.
I need to get over that.
Something to try.
You know that in your head, you can hear those thoughts. Do you know what I mean? Like... I've never understood that.
Remember when Kip was on the Hey Kip was on the podcast, and they were like, I talked to myself out loud as practice for clowning.
I do remember that.
Maybe you should.
I'm
try
sure
that.
I said like, yeah, cool, me too, and it's not true. Maybe I should practice. It makes me feel insane. Who's it? You know, who's that for?
It's for you. It's for you.
I don't know.
It's for
our
you.
Our mutual friend, Chris George. great audible reaction. Is the kind of only child that speaks to himself out loud 24/7. So much so that I've walked in on him having like a full volume conversation with himself. And that really freaked me out.
I think that's perfectly healthy.
I have whatever the opposite of that is. Maybe something unhealthy. Anyways, that's me. That's PJ.
That's all that's up with Peach.
Yeah.
Can I call him Peach?
I'll have to ask, but...
For now, I will.
Yeah.
Until I learn otherwise, Peach it is. I'd like to move into the Parasocial Scholar Corner.
Great.
Here we are in the corner.
I love this corner.
What's the lighting like?
It's bright.
Medium.
Oh.
No, that's a lie. It's definitely bright.
It's bright in the corner.
It's a nice bright corner and...
Full of the light of knowledge.
Full of the light of discovery and curiosity.
To further our goal of becoming the preeminent scholars on the parasocial phenomenon, we unpack some facet of the beast. Your copy surprises me every time.
I'm always trying to give you a chuckle with the things I write in our outline.
At no point was I like, I bet the last word of the sentence is the beast.
I think it's appropriate to refer to the parasocial phenomenon.
As the beast. I think we talk down on it a little, though.
To call it the beast?
I think largely parasocial relationships are positive.
I called it nightmarishly powerful.
I know.
Well, it's relevant because what we're going to talk about today
is
with
dark.
Chapel
That's
is dark.
True. Yeah, let's get into it.
I agree. Well, I agree with you. I'm like, you know, there's a big dark side.
Sure.
But I don't have to always call her the beast. We could call her something else next time.
No, I kind of like the beast because beast, I think, does imply both. Like the way that horses are beasts.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Beautiful beasts.
Yeah.
I'll add beautiful.
Add that, yeah.
Right. So the latest
facet of the beautiful beast.
Yeah, I think that's actually too many words. Okay, so news in the Chapel Roan and parasocial sphere. This has been big news. Big news for us as the preeminent scholars.
And kind of everybody.
And everybody, mainstream news.
Yeah.
Chapel Roan has been, for the past couple of months, dealing with, you know, your typical pop star stalker behavior.
Being way too famous.
Yeah, being way too famous. People are like doxing you, finding out personal information about your family, being creepy stalker type fans, right? And this has been called out to some degree, but notably, she made some video TikToks very directly saying, and I'm paraphrasing here from memory, like, fuck off. You do not get access to me just because I am, you know, a popular musician. You're not entitled to me. You can't come up to me and ask for a hug and demand it.
Yeah.
Please get away from me.
Yeah. Well, and really said that you just can't be mad if she says no, which I kind of appreciate, because it's like, yeah, she can't really control their behavior either. And I think she's aware of that. That much has been made clear. but just like, she's allowed to say no, and it doesn't matter what you think about the fact that she doesn't want that.
Right. Well, I think it's really interesting because I think of her reaction, totally normal. I think it's awesome that she did a direct to audience address about it. I hate that she felt like she needed to do it, but I also think she's, I think her persona is such that it might actually be somewhat effective.
Yeah, I agree. Well, she has always had a TikTok since, you know, before she blew up in a really massive way.
Right.
And she privated so many of those videos, which made me think, oh, okay, now she must have this, like, really strict PR team that is making some choices. Mm-hmm. But after seeing that video, I was just curious if it was, like, a calculated decision a team of people made with her that she was going to do that, or if she truly was like, I'm so fed up, I'm making this tonight, I don't care.
Right. I feel like it's like probably more of the I'm so fed up. But also, if I was her PR team, I would say, yeah, that's good. We're going to get press about this, and do whatever you want.
Do you? Yeah.
This will be great press for us.
And, totally.
But it does make me think about like the other people who are like more A-list traditional type celebrities and pop stars, there's always a little bit more of a PR gloss over this type of stuff.
Totally.
Whereas this really does feel like genuinely her. Whereas if Ariana Grande made a video like this, we'd all kind of be like, okay, is she like dropping an album tomorrow? Like, what are we promoting? What's
going
on?
And the tone is so different. She's like pissed off when she's saying this.
Yeah.
And I feel like if this was coming from someone else, it would be like, hey guys, I know that you want photos, but if you wouldn't mind,
right,
I just need a little more space and privacy. This was like, guys, fuck you. Yeah. Get away from me. which I think really conveyed just how distressing it is.
It made me think about, can you put the, I hate this metaphor, can you put the toothpaste back in the tube? When the snakes pop out of the can they go back in the can? Like, like, yeah, the noise you just, that's how I feel. I don't like those.
Is that the truth?
Like, can you reverse the parasocial phenomenon once you are a pop star?
I don't know about the parasocial aspect, but people definitely get less famous over time.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people who were A-list go back to being pretty regular folks if they stop working.
Right. You have to strategize to stay famous.
Yeah. But as far as like, stop, you know, at this stage, I feel like it's not possible. She can't just be like, skirt, I'm actually not famous.
She'd have to literally disappear.
Yeah.
And then that would only inspire like more excitement and wonder about where she is, because she had a pretty viral fame ascension to begin with. Like she had a label behind her funding things.
Yeah.
But the quickness with which she became famous was equal to like a viral post. It wasn't the same way most people get famous. It was like more of a quote overnight success type of thing. Because she literally, this album has been out for years.
Yeah, that is one of the weirdest parts to me, is that it's all of the work was already done previously. It's just something weird about that.
Anyways, again, to directly address Chapel, our listener.
Mm-hmm. Our first listener and our last listener.
I am really sorry that this is happening. And we look forward to continuing to cover this as scholars.
As scholars. Good luck, babe.
Damn.
I hated that. Anyways, yeah, that sounds like hell. I mean, I always say... I would like to be mildly famous, but there's a real hard limit.
Carly Rae Jepsen level of famous.
Oh, no,
the ideal level of famous. That's ideal.
You think?
She plays like the Fonda still.
Can she go places?
I don't know about that. You're right.
Good That's point. The thing. I want to go to the grocery store.
I think she could like take out her extensions and go places probably.
That is so funny that that's what's making her breaking, getting recognized.
I mean, I would recognize her. Of course.
I think I would too. But the hair change. Okay.
Something to
That's
consider.
Funny that that is your ideal level.
She's, yeah.
It varies. That's good.
She's perfect.
I want like a Bob Balaban or a Paul F. Tompkins level. It's like people are calling on you to work all the time.
Sure.
You're in fucking everything. I can't listen to a podcast without seeing your voice.
Excellent point.
Huh. Seeing your, yeah.
I like that.
But you're at the store and my dad knows your face, but not what your name is.
My dad thinks he knows you personally. So he's like, hey, good to see you. And he walks by.
That's so funny.
Because he doesn't realize you're famous. He thinks that you're like the guy he talked to at Home Depot yesterday.
He's like, oh, you're back.
He's like, what are you doing back here?
Oh, I like when that happens.
2x4s?
You see someone and you're like, my friend. No. Someone from the news. Yeah. That's nice. Well, what should we say now?
It's time for Oops, I Googled Myself.
Oh.
This is a brand new segment we invented.
We talk about what's going on in our own parasocial sphere.
Yes. And there's something actually huge going on.
Oh.
Charlie, you changed your username.
I did. I went from at non-binary cowboy to at male cowgirl. Huge shift.
This is huge.
Can't wait to tell you all about it. First of all, can I just say the process of acquiring all of those usernames, sitting on them for a second, and then swapping them to the various accounts, because I didn't want to get rid of at non-binary cowboy for a few reasons. One, I might change my mind. But two, it's like referenced places. Mm-hmm. And so I want to be able to have that account and link it to my new one. Whatever. That process took so long because Instagram and TikTok both have this rule to prevent bots from snatching up usernames that are being swapped, where they don't let you change to a username that was just let go of for 14 days. So it wasn't until last night that I finally switched everything over to male cowgirl.
On TikTok too?
Yep.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
This has been a process.
It's been long. And it was really scary because I didn't Google any of this stuff beforehand. So I was like, RIP, I guess.
What made you know it was time to switch?
People had been asking me about it for a little while. I mean, here's the tea. So, I've never said that before.
Say it again.
Here's the tea. So, I still do identify as non-binary. Like, that never really went away. But I would say, like, in my day-to-day life, I want to look like any other guy and be seen by the public as a man. And it doesn't really have anything to do with, like, shame or even safety. I do like to pass. I don't really want strangers to know that I'm transgender. 'Cause I'm like, that's for us. That's for us girls to know. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm like, the nuance of like how I actually identify, I'm like, that's literally for my friends exactly. and me to talk about sitting around a big campfire. Like I don't need the public to know. I don't even need my family to get that level of nuance. But so it started to feel odd to be using like he, him pronouns and passing as male and in public all the time. And then people would be like, what is your Instagram? And I would be like, oh, here's this like handle that kind of outs me. Obviously, if you watch anything on there, that will also out me. But I would rather get to do it in those words than with the handle.
Right.
The male cowgirl still had the same cheekiness.
It's so, so good.
I was like,
it's so good.
Okay. And when I saw nobody had that anywhere, I locked it down so fast.
I told this already, but I'm so annoyed that you were able to think of an equally iconic noun.
That's so nice.
Username. It's so annoying.
It took a lot of percolating. For like 6 months, people have been like, you have to change that. And I was like, okay.
And you're right. I must change it and I will change it.
As soon as I think of something that no one has done before, I will.
Congratulations on your huge rebrand.
Thank you.
This is big. I'm really
proud of
you. It
feels massive. I'm also going to start riding horses again, and that's just separate.
Totally separate, but totally
related. But kind of related to branding.
Can't wait to hear about that.
Cheap places, you can do it kind of regularly.
I'd like to go.
Let's, okay.
I won't be doing a good job.
Podcast group horseback ride.
Field trip.
You don't have to do a good job.
Thank you.
Thanks.
All right, let's wrap things up.
Okay.
We really covered a lot in this episode.
I know.
Good work.
We did it all.
Thanks for your thanks for your scholasticism.
And thank you for your that.
It's time for our recommendations. Because we always ask our interview guests what they recommend. So, I have a recommendation today.
Jewel, what's your recommendation?
I really recommend starting a podcast with your nice friend and your other nice friend who you met to start the podcast. It's really nice.
I would recommend the same.
It's really weird. There's a lot of new stuff that I'm learning. I feel very vulnerable, but I also feel very excited.
It's fun. Yeah, it's work, but it's like cute work.
And I guess the real recommendation in there is not start a pod. I don't really want you guys all to start podcasts.
I actually prefer none of you guys.
I actually prefer no more podcasts to get started.
I recommend you sponsor small podcasts.
I recommend you pay for our podcast to exist. But the real heart of the recommendation is, you know, if you've been thinking about something that you think might be fun or a little scary, but also a little fun, give it a go. It's going to be worth it to find out either way.
It'll
good
be
or bad.
A hoot. Absolutely.
A hoot.
A hoot.
So that's my recommendation.
My recommendation is butter on toast. Will you pay? I can't also say start a podcast. Here's the thing about butter on toast. Jewel is in a fight with it. And
by the way, Garrett, our producer, is nodding fervently.
Butter on toast.
Pro butter on toast.
A lot of what's wrong is solved by butter on toast. And if you just take a good second and you have butter on toast, Jewel, don't act like you don't agree. Like, no one on earth is like, nah, that won't work. It does. It really. And go heavy on the butter. Don't mess around.
Okay, you know what? Now that you've said go heavy on the butter, I take back all my eye rolling. You're right. A heavily buttered piece of toast can solve America.
It really makes you go, like, I could live a little longer.
Absolutely.
Like, I'll hang on. Yeah. Anyways, that's my rec. Or you could, I guess, start a podcast with a friend you cherish. Who means so much to you. And is infinitely better organizationally.
Thank you for saying that on the record.
Yeah,
that's
it's
sweet.
True.
I love to make a folder.
I didn't even think you're type A. You're just, you have all the skills of a type A person.
So nice. Oh my god.
Mouth agape.
You
on
really,
a podcast.
Really think that I'm not type A, but I have all the skills of a type A person?
Yes. And I think that's rare.
I feel so seen. I'm serious.
Jill's crying. I love you.
That is so nice.
It's true.
That okay. is so nice. Oh my God. I hope people listen to this and they're like, exactly. That's so true. They're not like, no, Jules, absolutely type A. No question about that.
I've known you for longer than them.
That's fucking right.
Yeah. Except for that gap in the middle that we, I was going to say, don't talk about, but that's what the podcast is founded on.
Except for that gap in the middle. Doesn't matter. All right.
Shall we sign off?
Thank you guys so much for listening. See you next week.
Should we do a G's C?
No, we don't do that. G
oh,
does
sorry.
That.
We don't do it now.
Garrett does the Garrett's Corner.
Got it.
We don't do the Garrett's Corner. What are you talking about? This is like the sixth episode. I am more organized. Okay, bye. Thanks.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Parasocial Social Club. Enjoy this episode? Leave us a nice review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's a nice and kind thing to do. This podcast is produced by your hosts and Garrett Labonte. Theme music done by Brady Hicks. And for Garrett's Corner Pick of the Week, socks and sandals, or what I like to call sandals with socks. They're back. And don't let your Gen Alpha niece tell you otherwise.